Hard Rain by Irma Fenter. Translated by Elsa Silka. Performed by Sarah Zimmerman and Steve West.
If your job is to hunt down chaos, you become familiar with noise and squalor, crowds, the middle of nowhere. If you report the news long enough, sooner or later you'll end up in a place where you think no one can survive and nothing ever happens. But you'll be wrong. People carry on with their business, and nowhere is just another place to do exactly that. Maybe it's even easier, because there are fewer people who see, who remember. There are many such places in the world, not all of them bad. Some are among the most beautiful places I know. A few miles north of Port Noloth, just before you reach South Africa's border with Namibia, if you keep the sea on your left, fixed west, everything else gradually disappears until there's only you and the silence. It's the same when you drive into the tall dunes even farther north, beyond Walvis Bay, into the Namib Desert. And then there's this place in Tanzania, somewhere between Arusha and Dar es Salaam. Not a place with a name, more just a huddle of dwellings, like lost cattle in tall grass. Of course, there is a bar. The middle of nowhere always has a watering hole. The occasion is a wedding, and I find myself standing in the shade of an azure blue hall, beside a peeling hand-painted Coca-Cola sign, watching the passing parade of family, friends, and curious children. The beer in my hand is lukewarm, and the sun is scorching. I don't know why I felt obliged to be on time. People are bustling, carrying food, chatting, comparing dresses and hairstyles, and the pastor will clearly sit and drink tea under the umbrella trees for another hour or so. It's the kind of day when time doesn't matter. I turn away, looking to make myself useful. Maybe someone needs help with the chairs or the drinks. The first thing I notice is her hair, black and abundant. She gets up from the fallen tree she's been sitting on in the small clearing in front of the hall, grips the Nikon camera between her legs, gathers the curls into her hands, and ties them up behind her head. A purple t-shirt proclaims the doctor's use is always right. She's probably 6 feet tall, her body that of a swimmer, willowy and lithe, her shoulders broader than most people would consider attractive on a woman. And me, I know in the blink of an eye, that's how it is. That's how you fall in love, in a flash, in less time than it takes to draw a breath. How utterly bizarre. I walk up to her and clear my throat, hoping she'll look up. It works. Her eyes are blue, closer to violet, in fact. The beer is in the way, so I move it to my other hand. She does the same with the Nikon. It's a fluid, practiced movement, as if the camera with its grey lens weighs nothing. She shakes my hand. Her skin is cool, despite the day's searing heat. "Alex Derksen," I say.
"Rana, I thought I was the only one crazy enough to cover this part of the world. What are you doing here?"
"Is it that obvious I'm a journalist?" She waves two fingers in the air, a multitude of silver bangles shifting up her arm.
"Your eyes keep on weighing the scene, looking for an angle, condensing it all into 300 words or less."
She laughs.
"I've been watching you for a while."
"Is that a compliment?" "I hope so." She switches off the Nikon, then switches it back on.
"You haven't said why you're here."
Something about her faint American accent jogs my memory, but I don't know why. "Same reason as you."
"A photo?"
"A story. Same thing, isn't it?"